Open your Bible, please, to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 6 for today's study number 46. This Bible study is titled 1 Timothy Study 46, Vain Jangling. Father, give us wisdom, understanding. Help us, Lord, to rightly divide the word of truth. Help us, Lord, to say all we need to say. And Lord, help us not to add anything or take anything away from the word of God today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now in 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 6, the Bible said, "From which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling." In our last study, which was study number 45, we looked at the words vain in verse number 6 and called that study vain dash 3. In this study, which is study number 46, we will look at verse number 6 again, and at the words in this verse, this time as vain jangling. May God bless and touch you with His Holy Spirit to help you understand His Word. Please give God your undivided attention for the next 15 or 16 minutes. We hope these studies will create an interest in your heart for the study and the desire of study of the Word of God. The Word of God is the hope, it's the help, and it's the strength. The spiritual strength of the believer. After all, as a child of God, we're all commanded from God in 2 Timothy chapter 2:15 to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. As we said in our last study, the word vain means ineffective. It means hopeless, unsuccessful, unproductive, useless, worthless, conceited, proud, arrogant, self-important, big-headed, or inflated. Notice our text verse very carefully. Paul says, "Some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling." In other words, they had swerved, they had turned aside, and they had turned to something else. In this case, they had turned unto vain jangling, which is foolish and empty talk that does not glorify God and does not edify the church and does not exalt the Savior. These are the primary duties of the child of God. The word jangling means to make harsh, metallic-like noise, to put somebody's nerves on edge, to be tense and on edge, or notice or noise like the rattling of keys. To me, this jangling is like beating on a tub or something. It's an empty noise which is useless. In other words, vain jangling is a useless noise or saying something with no effective content in it. The biblical thought is vain talk or empty talk. It is speaking with no spiritual or no biblical content in it. Vain jangling is speaking with words that are useless and even aggravating to listen to. Vain jangling is conversation that is annoying to the hearer, especially don't have a subject he's wanting to hear about. Vain jangling does not glorify, and it does not uplift the Savior. Vain jangling is boring and has no useful content whatsoever in it. Vain jangling will not hold your attention for long. Vain jangling can be words that sound good, but have no spiritual content, or could also be bad doctrine, as we'll see in the next verse in our studies. Now, when these two words, vain and jangling, are put together, it gives us the thought of useless talk. It gives us the thought of worthless conversation. It gives us the thought of ineffective speech, and it gives us the thought of an unproductive communication of some sort. Vain jangling signifies empty or vain talking or just noise, as I've already said. Vain jangling is conversations that are of little or no profit. There are words which make little sense and are of little help. There are words that are not worth the time of hearing, to tell you the truth. Such indeed is all preaching, where Jesus Christ is not held forth, exalted, and lifted up. Vain jangling will have a lot of words that are just words without much meaning whatsoever. Paul has established us an example and a witness of the correct speaking and preaching in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 4. Paul said, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Paul did not use enticing words of man's wisdom in his preaching. He just refrained from it. The word enticing means tempting, means alluring or attractive or appealing or beguiling. Paul's words were not words that were attractive or appealing to the flesh. He didn't put that emphasis on it. He was trying to appeal to the spirit of man, not to the flesh of man. His words were with demonstration of the Spirit and power of God. They were powerful words that brought conviction and repentance. His words were real, and his words were from God. Paul gives Titus an instruction on how his speech should be in Titus chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. "In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity." Sound speech, Paul says, that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Titus was to have sound speech, not useless talk that makes no sense at all. All of us have more foolishness in our conversations than we should have, and all of us have more foolishness in our conversations than we really desire to have. Say amen right there. Amen. Down through the years, I've noticed the saints of God as they came into the church before the service. Many years ago, they would come in talking about the Lord and His Word. They would be lifting hands and thanking God for what God had done for them through the week. Their minds were on the Lord as a general rule. They came to church in a more spiritual mood than they do today. The services were better, and people filled the altar from time to time. They came to the house of God in a spiritual mind or in a spiritual framework, and then God began to work through the people and do His work in the church. They came to church prayed up and looking up for a good time. It was a common thing to see some crying and waving their hands and rejoicing as they sang in the choir and testified in the services. Now in our modern day, we don't see those things as quite as often or as much anymore as we used to. Services like that are few and far between. It appears they come in to get out instead of coming in to worship and to get in. Go into any church you want to just before the service, and you will see the people catching up on the latest talk of what is going on, and that talk won't be magnifying the Lord. I've seen some in the days gone by come in the church shouting, and they would shout all the way through the service as well, and shout through the rest of the week when they got home. Their conversation was not vain jangling or useless noise or useless words. They did not come into the congregation laughing and telling jokes or talking about the latest ball game and who won it or the beach party they'd just come from or a vacation they'd just been on or the vacation that they were just going to. Their conversation was a spiritual nature. They had a serious mind. Vain jangling is not godly conversation. It's useless noise that will not amount to a hill of beans, as the old saying goes. Paul gives us another idea of what our conversation should be in the book of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 22. "That you put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust." Our conversation is not to be what our former conversation was. Paul said it was corrupt according to the deceitful lust of our minds and the deceitful lust of our soul before we got saved. After salvation, our conversation or our talk is to be heavenly and holy, and many times it's not. Vain jangling is not holy or heaven. It is not holy or heavenly conversation. It's earthly and sensual conversation. Paul is saying in our text verse, the verse number 6 here, that some had swerved, some had turned aside, and some had turned to this vain jangling. They used to talk right and have a proper way of saying things, and now they no longer do that. I have met many who used to talk properly and righteously, but now they've swerved and they've turned and they're talking different. Their conversation is not what it used to be. I know many who used to magnify Christ in their lives, and all they wanted to do was talk about the Lord and talk about His Word, but today, it's just about humanly impossible to get some to ever name the name of Christ. Their conversation has ended up being vain jangling. Peter gives us some instruction about our conversation, as well as Paul, in 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse number 15. But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Peter's telling us that we need to talk holy. The Lord is holy, and we should be holy in our walk and in our talk. We have an obligation and a responsibility to speak for the Lord with a holy conversation. It is amazing that Peter gives us this charge here. He denied the Lord 3 times and was told his speech bewrayeth him in Matthew chapter 26, verses 73 and 74. The Bible said, and after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou art also one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not to man. And immediately a cock crew. Peter at one time had some vain jangling or useless speech, even while he was a disciple. We can describe vain jangling as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1, Paul said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Vain jangling is just noise with no tune or noise with no content. It's like sounding brass. It's a racket that can, get on your nerves and has no particular purpose in glorifying and lifting Christ. Tinkling cymbals are the same likewise. They are just noise makers. Those who turn to vain jangling are just noise makers. I've heard all my life that an empty wagon makes a lot of noise. In my course of life, I've driven pickup trucks for the most part of my life. An empty truck will bounce all over the road and make a lot of noise, especially on a dirt road. If you put a little weight in it, though, it'll quit bouncing, and it'll also give you a smooth and a quiet ride. The same is true of the human mind and of the human heart. If there's nothing in the human mind and the human heart, they'll make a lot of noise, and they'll give you a rough ride. An empty heart will produce vain jangling. Paul was concerned about the believers here in Ephesus who had swerved, who had turned aside from following the Lord, now had turned to vain jangling. He used to hear them glorify and lift up the Lord. They used to have a good testimony that fell from their lips. He used to hear them speak great things about the Lord. He used to hear them magnify and lift up and exalt the Lord Jesus. Now their mouths had been silenced with these sweet words, that they had been started talking about instead of lifting up the Lord Jesus. And I say sweet words, it's sweet words to them, but not to the Lord. I've met many as well down through the course of my ministry. The real problem is that these do not even realize sometimes that they've slipped, that they've swerved, that they've changed and they've turned. Amen. They just don't realize it. When they swerved, they thought it was a good for the good, not for the negative. In my years of preaching, I've seen very few come out of the worldly talking back to the lifting up of the Lord. It seems that they just continue on for years and years and never ever get to a desire to change back. It's because they don't seem to see that there's anything wrong with the way that they're living. And if the Holy Spirit don't show you that your conversation's not right, you will not change it either. That's the reason the man of God must keep on preaching and keep on preaching with the power of God upon him. It's the word of God preached that's going to change and convict and convince the heart and the man and woman of sin. The Holy Spirit is the only person that can convict a backslider or those who are in complacency, those who are slack, those who are drifting away from God. The Holy Spirit uses the Word of God through preaching to do the job. That's the reason that preaching the Word of God is to be the central theme that the church and the believer are to major upon. An empty heart like an empty wagon will make a lot of noise. An unsaved man or woman will produce vain jangling. And an undedicated Christian will make a lot of noise. To speak properly, we must have our hearts full of the Lord and the things of the Lord. Does the Lord have complete control of your life? Are you speaking from your heart? Are you glorifying God and lifting Him up in all things? We hope this lesson, study number 46, has been a great help to you and an encouragement. It's with a great honor that we preach it today. Please contact us if it's been a blessing. Go to Google, type in Pastor Dennis Deals, and then follow the leads. Or email us at kjv1611@windstream.net, all small letters. May God bless you and strengthen you. Amen and amen.